Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Missing Frames, everybody, the podcast where we watch movies we probably should have seen by this point in our lives. I'm Sean Eastridge. This is my podcast. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
So you do know something about this movie.
Well, everyone knows that. That's not the problem. So we are, if you haven't picked up already, we're going to be watching The Princess Bride. And I've never seen it. Ever.
Never seen it.
But I here's the thing. This is one of those movies. Do you have a movie where you could say you've seen it because you've seen enough of it in bits and pieces? Because this is that movie for me. I've caught it in like random snippets on cable, on like the bus to church camp, like all all this stuff. So you could argue that I'm cheating a little bit with this movie, that I might have actually seen it, but I've never sat down and watched it from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So I have snippets of, like, I know Fred Savage is in it, and his dad is reading him the story, and I know there's a scene where Carrie Yule says, "As you wish," and I know there's a scene where they go into a forest, and he gets attacked by, like, a pig monster.
Okay, yeah.
And I remember Mandy Patinkin taking as Inigo Montoya fighting with the sword and then basically saying, like, they're like, he's like, "Oh, you're pretty skilled," and he's like, "I'm not left-handed," and he switches to his right hand.
Yeah,
I remember it was so, even as a kid I was struck so much by, like, okay, it's like a fantasy romance, which, you know, was not my go-to genre. There were no spaceships in this movie. But I remember being struck by, like, oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
And that made it okay.
It's a total comedy. Well, yeah. It's got every genre, basically, but it's definitely a comedy. It's great.
That's what it's hailed as. I'm looking at Wikipedia right now, and it says released in the United States on September 25th, 1987. So, oh my God, it's the
25th
30th anniversary.
Yeah.
I mean, this is we're recording this on the 23rd, but I knew it was its 25th anniversary this year.
Great timing.
Or not 25th. Oh my God, I can't even do math. It's too early for me to do math. It's the 30th anniversary of The Princess Bride. How crazy is that, that we're recording?
It's as old as I am.
Yeah, but it's that's so awesome. So this episode's actually going to air the day before its 30th anniversary. We totally planned that,
yeah,
just in case you're wondering. Released in the United States on September 25th, 1987. Film is number 50 on Bravo's 100 Funniest Movies. Well, there you go, halfway up the list. Number 88 on AFI, that's the American Film Institute. Their 100 Years, 100 Passions? Is that their romance list?
I like it.
I want to see what Passions is. Passion doesn't just have to be romance. It looks like it's romance. Casablanca, Gone with the Wind. Was West Side Story a romance? I don't know. Anyway, back to the point. Let's see. Number 46 in Channel 4's 50 Greatest Comedy list. All right. Well, there you go. It's also in the National Film Registry. Not for being a comedy, but for being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. Would you call it all those things, or at least one of those?
Yeah,
things?
I mean, for me, it's pretty significant in my earlier years because it's a movie that my family was fine with me watching. You know, it was one of those safe movies that I watched as a kid, and I watched kind of as a, you know, early teen, and I don't know, I still love it. But it's sentimental to me. So sometimes you're like, is it really good or do I just really love it? So I'm curious to revisit this. It's been a good like 10 years, I think, since the last time I watched this from the beginning. So.
I'm curious to watch it too. We've gotten knocked before by a couple people. I know a listener of the show, Aaron, he knocked me for not liking Gremlins, which I still feel bad
about.
Well,
I like Gremlins, so far I have not been knocked.
I know. So there you go. You're okay. You're safe.
I'm safe.
Princess Bride, I almost feel like this is a little bit more personal. Gremlins,
yeah.
Like, there's not like a whole lot about Gremlins. It's kind of, I mean this with all due respect to anyone who likes this movie, it's kind of throwaway in that there's not really an emotional investment in the movie, whereas The Princess Bride has a lot more going for it as far as people really love this movie.
Yeah.
And there's like, you have an emotional connection to it. It's like, yeah, people are obsessed with it. It's funny because the reason we're recording this is because it's also coming up on the 1 year anniversary of our marriage.
Marriage.
See, I knew that too. Marriage brings us the, or whatever the quote is. But our past officiator, pastor, all of the above.
My uncle, Roger.
He married us and he quoted a line, and I don't remember the line.
I know. We had a videographer. We should have watched our wedding back again.
Really, what I could do is we could reach out to him, get that clip, watch it, and then record it and pretend like no time has passed. But honestly, I'm lazy. And frankly, I don't think that guy would get back to us in time either. Again, no offense to him if he's listening. I'm sure he's a longtime listener of this show. But he quoted The Princess Bride at our wedding during the ceremony.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Do you know what that's from?" And I was like, "I have no idea."
Yeah. And I was like, "I don't know." And the thing is, I probably did know, but you know, when you're getting married and there's 150 people staring at you and it's hot outside and you're panicking, you're like a blank slate. Or I don't know. I was like, just don't fall, Sarah.
I remember everything very vividly. It's funny that this movie that I've never seen is now kind of, you know, we bought the book. We bought the Princess Bride book, which I haven't read. I don't know how close this is to the book. I don't know if the book is like funny or if it's
just a straightforward story. I honestly don't know, but I'm
very
interested in reading the book.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. That's a good question. Yeah. But we have the book. We recently were at Dragon Con and got a gorgeous art print of the Princess Bride. So now it's like something that's
it's part of our history.
Yeah, I loved it as a kid, but now it's like cool. It's like the theme of our marriage.
So no pressure for me to like this movie that's now tied into our marriage.
Once again, our marriage is on the table over a film.
Yeah, it's on the table. Literally, we're sitting at a table now. So it's what else do I know about this movie? Mandy Patton, I remember because I really loved the show Dead Like Me. Did you ever watch Dead Like Me?
I watched a little bit. Doesn't it have Zod in it from Smallville?
I don't know.
The British guy?
No, it's a different guy. I don't remember his name, but it's not. Oh, wait. Yeah, it is.
Callum Blue. Was I right about Smallville? Yeah, fun fact.
There you go. Smallville fun fact.
I don't even know how I pulled that out of my brain.
But I remember when I found out that was him, I was like, oh my God, how awesome.
I saw a couple episodes of that, but I hear great things.
Dead Like Me. And isn't he in a show that you watched or still watched?
All right. So I am a junkie for the show Criminal Minds, like a junkie. And, you know, for listeners that don't know, last year I fell down the stairs like a month and a half before our wedding. I fractured my spine.
Fun wedding story,
everybody. Yeah. Great timing, Sarah. So I had a lot, you know, I was off from work. I had to, you know, go on disability and all that for a couple months. So I just like started powering through Criminal Minds and I got obsessed. Like, my mom had always watched it and I watched an episode here and there, but I got obsessed. So Mandy Patinkin is in, I want to say, definitely the full first season. I think he's in the second, or it could be in the first. I don't know, first or second, really early on. And then all of a sudden they like, okay, so Criminal Minds, spoilers ahead. I won't get too detailed in case you are watching the show, but he just disappears and they write him off in a really bizarre kind of, just super not true to his character, really weird way. He's like the star of the show. So it's kind of bizarre that in the first or second season, he's just gone without any explanation. So I was like, what the heck happened to him? So I'm looking up articles and he basically was like, yeah, the show is really violent and I didn't like the violence against women and it made me feel dirty. So I left. I just quit. And it was like, oh, but Inigo Montoya... Huh, interesting.
Inigo Montoya fights for justice.
He does, but so does this guy. Yeah. Like, he's fighting, he basically was like, you know, I just want to, like, I don't know what he was. I know that later on he, like, really regrets the way it came out because it was super unprofessional. Like, you can leave. But it's like, dude, when someone pitched you this show, what did you think it was about? It's called Criminal Minds and you're profilers for serial killers. Like,
yeah, maybe should have.
Did you really think there was.
Did you read the script?
Yeah, like, are you really claiming misrepresentation?
I feel bad. Now we're just bashing.
No, I do like. And he goes on to do Homeland, which a lot of people really like.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the first couple seasons. I really liked it. I don't know if he's in it anymore, but you know, he's done some great stuff. I will always love him in this role in The Princess Bride, though. It's got to be my favorite role of his.
Yeah, he's wonderful in this movie. I've seen enough of it to know that. And it's also, it's directed by Rob Reiner,
yeah,
who's one of my favorite directors. So this is the year after he did Stand By Me. And then it was sandwiched between Stand By Me and When Harry Met Sally.
Ugh.
Does this movie bridge the gap creatively between those two movies?
I don't know, but can you imagine being a director that's like, those are the three movies that you have? Like, that's awesome. I'm looking at his list.
So 1984, this is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
The Sure Thing, I don't know what that is.
Me neither.
Stand By Me, which is, I mean, one of the best movies ever. So is This is Spinal Tap, if I didn't make that clear. Then The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, Misery, A Few Good Men,
ugh,
and North. Did you ever see North?
I don't even know what North is.
Oh my God.
Wait, fill me in.
It's the most, the reason North is infamous because Roger Ebert wrote this, like, he skewered it. Like,
ooh,
I think the first sentence, I don't know if it's the first sentence, but a sentence from that review is, I hated this movie. Hated, or something like he repeats.
And he's
it.
He was such a nice man.
Roger,
like,
Ebert?
Yeah.
No.
Am I thinking of someone different?
No, you're thinking of someone, Santa Claus, maybe. Roger Ebert, if you gave him a beard, could pass as Santa Claus.
He always looked like a nice old man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I didn't read many of his reviews before his passing.
Hated. But yeah, so The North, I think it's, yeah, it got Raspberry Awards for Worst Picture and Worst Director. It was nominated. It's apparently considered terrible. I loved it when
I
was a
kid. You say Raspberry Awards?
Yeah.
Isn't it Razzie?
Golden Raspberry. I said Raspberry.
I thought you were talking about the Razzies.
No.
Is that the same thing? Is that different?
I don't know. Are you supposed to pronounce Raspberry Raspberry?
That'll be another podcast,
honey. Yeah, because I always pronounced crayons as crowns.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
You also say Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Well, now you're saying it right.
Las Vegas. That's how I always say
it. No.
How do I say it usually?
Like Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Las Vegas.
Oh, whatever.
I always say it like that.
Okay, crowns.
All right. Well, anyway, Rob Reiner's great, and this is one of his earlier movies. Earlier movies, bridging the gap between Stand By Me and When Harry Met Sally, two of the greatest films of all time. Will this hold a candle to those? I don't know. I'll have to find out. I'm excited to watch this. I feel like I've seen enough of it. I'm very familiar with this movie, but it's been years since I'd seen the little bits and pieces that I usually saw frequently on TV or on a trip somewhere. So it's been a while, and I've never seen it. I've never sat down and watched it. I've never seen it all the way through. And this is perfect. It's the 30th anniversary. It's our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm so looking forward to it. Like I said, it's been a while since I sat down and watched the whole thing. So I'm excited.
Yay.
It'll be good.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Now available to own on video cassette.
Welcome back, everyone. We just watched The Princess Bride, and I'm so happy to say that this can remain our marriage anniversary tradition.
Yes.
Because I loved it so much.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Film. And it's great because I had a feeling I would, because I have very fond memories of seeing it as a kid, even though I never actually watched it all the way through. I remember, like I said in the pre-show, I remember being struck by how, like, almost irreverent and funny it was, like, which was very, you know, it's a very, you know, it's fantasy, it's romance, it's the olden days. You know, I remember how much the sense of humor kind of, you hold them up to each other and they wouldn't necessarily fit, or you wouldn't think to combine that kind of humor with this kind of movie. And as a kid, I remember thinking that, and that's what kind of made me be like, okay, whenever someone, like a teacher, would force you to watch it, it was like, okay, all right, it's funny. Oh yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what I felt watching it now. I mean, I loved the whole thing now. Now that I'm old enough to not think kissing is gross like Fred Savage's character, I think he and I grew together as we learned to be okay with it. But I did. I loved how funny it was. I think that's a real key as to why this movie is so beloved, is just the sense of humor. And I guess it must be in the book, too, because William Goldman, the author, wrote the movie, which I didn't realize.
Yeah, he did. And It's up on our shelf. I feel like now I'm really in the mood to read the book. So we'll see. We'll do comparative notes. But yeah, it's so good. And I think, you know, watching it now too, it was so perfectly cast. You know, like every single person was amazing.
Well, Cary Elwes is great.
He's great.
I know him from Robin Hood, Men in Tights. I think that was the movie that stood out to
me. Is he Robin Hood in that? Yeah. I haven't
seen it. He's great.
Okay.
Movie is okay. It's not Mel Brooks's best.
I feel like I need to see it at some point, though.
Yeah, he's good. Dave Chappelle's in it, and he's great. You know, it's fun. It's got its moments. He's definitely one of the highlights of the movie. But it's so funny because I just remember he's in Saw as well. He's in the first Saw movie.
He is.
Yeah, he's got an interesting career. He's like the main character in Saw. I don't remember the guy. I saw Saw once, and I think that's the only amount of times I need to see Saw.
But yeah, and I only saw the first one. I know there's like 10 out now.
Yeah, I want to pull up Cary Elwes' biography, his filmography.
We did see Cary Elwes at AwesomeCon several years ago. Yeah. We didn't go to any of his panels. It didn't work out, but I remember we kind of creeped on him near his signing table, and I was like, yep, still good looking.
So interesting. He's been in a lot. So I think, he was in The Jungle Book, the 1994. Did you ever see the live-action Jungle Book?
I didn't know there was a live-action. I thought the live-action one was Dwayne Johnson.
Sure, he's the bad guy in that.
Interesting.
He's either going to be like charming, good-looking guy with the British accent, or he's going to be evil, bad guy. He was in Twister as well, Dr. Jonas Miller. Wasn't that the bad guy in that movie? Jerry in Liar Liar. That was the stepdad, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like he's either like a guy you hate or a guy you absolutely love. But it looks like after Princess Bride and after Robin Hood Men in Tights, it looks like he went a little bit more towards people you hate.
He swung in the wrong direction.
Yes, but I mean, he's great. I love him in this movie.
He's so charming and funny. And
well, that's the thing. He's
perfect.
Charming and like he's so good looking.
Yeah.
But he's also very like, he's hysterical.
He's kind of self-deprecating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the whole time it's like all the stuff of him and the fighting and just when he first speaks under the guise of the mask or whatever. Or whatever.
Yeah.
What was the pirate's name?
Dreadlord Robert.
I should
know this. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember.
Something very piratey.
He's on the cliff and he's just kind of like, oh, I don't need your help. And they're having their exchange.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yeah, and they were so good because Mandy Patinkin's character and Cary Elwes, they did all their own swordplay, which I think is super cool. And you can tell, like, I think I'm sure there were certain stunts that they had stunt doubles and whatnot, but
they did. They trained, and I think it was Bob Anderson, who's a legendary. He's done everything.
He's the guy that did the Star Wars lightsaber battles.
He did Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done. This guy is an absolute legend, and he's an actual swordsman, which is why he knows everything so well.
And why this looks so good and authentic, because it was authentic.
Exactly. So he is, they did that.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was watching it very closely, I feel like lately, and especially maybe this is just what high definition does to you, I've been watching more to see like, oh, that's a stunt person. Yeah. But the whole time.
No, it's
except
them.
Except for the flip where they do the little flip.
Yeah.
But the whole time, you very clearly see it's them.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God.
The camera has both of
really
them in
good.
Frame. They don't try and hide anything. It's just happening.
Yeah,
which is
exactly.
Super cool.
I love that. And I love when actors are like that dedicated.
Oh,
to
yeah.
It. But Mandy Patinkin, oh my God, what a. Or
what a
stud. Mandy Patinkin.
I always say Patinkin. Please. Am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, Mandy.
Oh,
Mr.
Mandy.
Mandy,
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Just call him Mandy.
I mean, we already knew I loved him. And he was the iconic role in this movie as far as what I remembered the most. Him, just his line, you know, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. I remember that. I remember that scene, but I didn't realize that the guy who killed his father was Christopher Guest.
Yeah.
It was so funny because during the opening credits, it was like, oh, Christopher Guest, that's awesome. And it was no surprise to think like, yeah, he would be in this movie. He was in This Is Spinal Tap, Rob Reiner's first movie. But I didn't realize, it was a weird moment where when you're a kid and you like think, picture somebody a certain way, And then later in life, when you know them as someone else, and you, the two, there, I had that moment watching this movie where it was like, oh, that's Christopher Guest. He's the guy who killed Inigo Montoya's father.
Yeah.
What? Because I know Christopher Guest from his movies, which are all amazing. Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, Mighty Wind, like all that stuff is amazing. It was just so funny. But he's great in this movie, too. I love when he's torturing Wesley.
Yeah.
And he goes, how would you describe that? And he goes, fascinating. Or whatever his line was. The way he says it is so funny. But he's a comedy guy. So his comic timing is perfect.
Of course.
Especially when he's first confronted and he has the sword. And he just turns
runs away.
But it's like moments like that are what make this movie amazing to me. Like I that's why this, I mean, there's so many elements, but I think like just having that sense of humor in this movie really elevates it.
Yeah, it keeps it grounded in a weird way because it's like, it's a fairy tale, right? Yeah. And it's kind of ridiculous and it's a swashbuckling like epic romance.
Yeah,
and,
you think of them as like stuffy and like very like, oh, we have to take it seriously and it's very romantic. So to have these like jokes in there, like I only dog paddle and things like that. Inconceivable. I do not think you know what this word means.
Oh, you're becoming a pro in record time.
I know.
He's already quoting the movie, ladies and gentlemen.
It's so funny. And then they do it all the time where they will play against type, like, you know, with Christopher Guest running away with the sword. But then the Pope, which I knew about the Pope, the marriage.
Yeah.
But it's still like framed very seriously, this very elegant man. And then marriage is what brings us. Again, I don't know if this was in the script. Or if Rob Reiner has made some amazing movies. He's clearly an amazing filmmaker. But it's just like, what a cool, inspired idea to make, like, that Pope character may have just been a straight character.
Yeah.
Like, not funny at all. But maybe Rob Reiner or the actor was like, I kind of want to do it like this or make it a little ridiculous.
And, yeah.
Like, just quirks like that make this movie so special.
And this movie has a lot of quirks, which is great. And, like, I love the Prince. I think as far as comedy goes, like, he...
Humperdinck.
Prince Humperdinck.
Which is just an amazing name.
But, like, everything when he's following their tracks and he has just this running commentary that's brilliant.
He's like, if I'm right and I'm never wrong, like things like that. And he'll just jump. Again, these scenes...
Jump off a horse.
These scenes are, like, exposition heavy. Could have been really dull and boring. It's like, we're really engaged with Wesley and Buttercup, their story. But, like, you know, it could have been very boring to have to cut back to the bad guys. But every time we did, it was always something like, aha, yes, of course, let's go. And it was just very, like, I loved the actors in this movie, and I loved that sense of energy. So that was Chris Sarandon as Prince Humperdinck. I wonder what else he was in. So I pulled up Chris Sarandon's Wikipedia page, and he's done a ton of stuff. He was in Dog Day Afternoon. That was his first movie. Nightmare Before Christmas, he played Jack Skellington.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Isn't that crazy? That's cool.
So what an awesome, like, he's fantastic in this movie, and the cast is amazing. Wallace Shawn is hysterical.
So good.
The scene, that's another scene I do remember, is the scene where they the poison. Completely ridiculous.
And he swaps them.
And his whole
monologue, it's so good.
About, like, if you thought that I did it, you think that this and that. And then I remember as a kid thinking that part with him laughing, like, I tricked you. And then he falls over. I remember thinking that was so brilliant.
Yeah.
And it is still brilliant. But it's fun. Why the movie gets into it. I was kind of watching it now from a technical standpoint and from a storytelling standpoint. And it really gets started like right off the bat. Like you have your introduction within like 5 minutes. We're like already into the story.
Yeah.
So they set it up really quickly.
They're already in love.
Fred Savage is a sick kid. His grandpa comes over here. Like, all right, I'm going to read you the story. And the kid's like, oh, I don't want to read this stupid story. And then it's just right into it. And it's like, I remember just being struck with how efficient it was. It was very fast, but it was very like efficient storytelling.
But it doesn't feel rushed. Fast, but not rushed.
You're immediately into Buttercup and Wesley's story and they're in love and he disappears and all that stuff. So I remember being very impressed with that. And then of course all the As You Wish stuff, which I also knew about because I had seen that part as well. But again, it's very,
that's like the most famous thing.
I loved, now having seen the whole movie, I realized at the end when he's like, oh, grandpa, you can come over and read it to me again. And he says, as you wish.
Yeah.
This means I love you.
Very sweet.
Very sweet. Very smart and sweet movie.
It is.
So it was a lot of fun. I also liked kind of the fakeness of some of the stuff. Like it was an exaggerated fakeness, like the monsters in the forest. What was it? The fire something or other.
Was the rodents of extraordinary size?
Yes, the rodents of extraordinary size.
Those are my favorites.
Forest, like, especially when Again, she goes, what about the, what is it? The Rouds? Rodents of...
REOs.
How do you... Rodents of...
Guys, sorry. We got to do our homework.
Yeah, rodents of... Hold on. Yeah. So it's R-O-U-S. Rodents of unusual size.
Unusual.
She's like, what about the R-O-U-S? And he's like, oh, the rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist.
And then he leaps on them.
Yeah. Great. But I remember even that scene, I remember watching distinctly. And the movie was on TV. I had no idea what it was. But I remember watching that scene and thinking like, oh my God. I was a kid and it was like on a family vacation. It's like, this movie is so violent. Look how bloody his shoulder is. It's all torn up. I could watch this movie.
No biggie.
It's not so bad.
So speaking of those like fire pits and stuff, the writer of the book and obviously the screenwriter, I guess Rob Reiner liked having closed sets and stuff like that. But he was like, oh, I'll make an exception. Like, let the writer. And apparently like he came on set and he kept screwing up all their takes because he was talking like during like one of the scenes where, you know, her dress ignites on fire in the fire pits. He goes, oh my God, her dress is on fire. Oh, and they had to like redo the whole scene and get a new dress. And then he was like, okay, you can go. off the set.
This is a dream of mine. Someday I hope to write a book that would be adapted or that I could adapt and then just go to the film set and be like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at all this stuff.
Apparently like that's what was happening. Like when they give interviews, they're really nice. Like, he's such a lovely man, but he doesn't shut up. Running commentary through them. And they're like, okay, you can leave the set now.
So another funny thing, apparently, so this is Robin Wright, is she Robin Wright now?
Yeah, because she divorced Sean Penn, right. So she dropped the pen.
I just want to make sure I get
she
right.
She was right. Robin Wright, and she is Robin Wright yet again.
Right.
Right.
Right is right.
You are correct.
Right is... God, this is going to drive everyone who's listening to this crazy. But this, I think, was her first movie. Because at the end it says introducing Robin Wright.
What a great way to go in. Yeah. That's so cool.
And apparently she and Carrie Ewells were like...
Did they?
Totally into each other.
I mean, they're like the most beautiful people of life, by the way. They're like, hello, Ken and Barbie.
Yeah,
like,
it says,
they're stunning.
Robin Wright and Carrie Ewells were smitten with each other during filming, naturally helping their chemistry in the movie. Ewells said that he couldn't concentrate on much of anything after that first encounter with Robin.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, she's gorgeous.
She's dropped
and
it.
And he's
gorgeous. Yeah.
And apparently the last scene of them kissing... like the last shot of the movie, they were like, oh, we have to, I don't think we got that right. We got to do it again. We got to keep doing it. I think, I don't know if it was the last shot of the movie actually, like the film sequentially, but I think it was. And they were trying to prolong their time together and everything.
Aww,
so it's kind of sweet. So
should have married him. Sean Penn didn't work out.
It did not work out. So maybe that could have happened.
Who is your favorite character? Can you narrow it down at all? I mean, I know
probably
that's kind of hard.
Inigo Montoya.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
I mean, Mandy Patton can, because it's like, it's a very, it's a great character. It's a funny character, but he imbues the character with such emotion and thoughtfulness. And you like the scene, I remember thinking like, oh, this guy's so funny. But I remember the moment where he's like telling him, he's like, what if I throw down a rope and help you? And he's like, not a chance. I don't trust you. And he's like, I swear my life as a Spaniard. And he's like, nope. And then when he says, I swear by the life of my father, you will reach the top of the, like, you will reach the top alive.
Very touching.
And he says, throw me the rope. But it's like the way Pattinson plays it is just very thoughtful. And it's beautiful because it's like in a movie like this, you don't necessarily have characters with layers when it's like, it's a kid's movie. It's a fantasy movie. It's a fairy tale. It's usually very simplistic. And I think part of The Princess Bride is like it's playing with those conventions and using them against us. We think it's like, oh, it's just going to be this. And then it surprises us all the time. And Pattinson is just, his character is so strong and so thoughtful. And you're really invested in him. I ended up and this is not a knock against the main story of Buttercup and Wesley. Because, you know, of course you want them to get together and you want him to save her. But I felt more invested in Inigo Montoya's character.
Yeah.
And he disappears for a chunk of the movie and then comes back at the end. But I think the most emotionally involved I was when he was going after the six-fingered man.
Yeah.
He was chasing after him and, you know, you killed my father, prepare to die, and all that stuff.
Yeah, and Mandy was apparently, like, one of these people that was, like, campaigning for the role. Like, I don't know if he read an early thing or he knew about it or whatever, but he, like, propositioned himself to Rob Reiner, which is super cool. And he says that, like, you know, he felt really connected because he lost his dad at a really young age.
Wow.
So you're talking about him being, like, thoughtful and, like, playing it thoughtfully. Well, he probably was, which is crazy and sad and beautiful. And I think it really, like... I don't know, it comes through, which is great.
It's very, but, it's a very beautiful performance. Yeah. The movie is just wonderful, but it's a really incredible performance in the midst of, it sounds like I'm being condescending towards everybody else. Everyone is amazing in this movie, but that is like, if you were to say award-winning performance, it's the performance that stands out because it feels so emotionally true and real and genuine.
Yeah.
And I know he said that's his favorite role that he's ever played.
And it's
iconic. He's like, people come up to me and say that line all the time. And he's like, I love it. The quote is, he says, I'm frankly thrilled about it. I can't believe that I got to be in the Wizard of Oz. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I love that. So you feel like you read so many stories about actors who are like, let's talk about what I'm doing now. I don't want to talk about what I did. So when an actor gives a performance that wonderful and a movie so good, and he embraces it and is like, I love that performance and I'm so happy about it. It just makes me even happier. This movie just makes me so happy. It's such a good movie.
I wonder if that was his first role. If it was, it sounds like all of them had great first roles, like all those actors.
Yeah. So it wasn't his first role. He'd done some television. It looks like he'd been in a few like smaller movies. He actually was a voice in Castle in the Sky before this movie.
Really?
Strangely enough, he was the English version. Although I don't know if that dub came out later and it's just showing up as 1986. But no, Princess Bride was definitely his big movie, his big breakthrough.
Yeah, and Andre the Giant is also one of my...
who's so good.
Yeah, and his real name is Andre something.
Andre the Giant's real name wasn't actually Andre.
I know. Inconceivable.
I don't know. It would be inconceivable. I don't know if I would be able to believe in anything anymore.
But that guy, okay, so he's like 7.5 feet tall and like 400 to 500 pounds.
Good God.
Which is nuts. Like, yeah. I remember as a little kid looking at this guy and being like, holy crap, this guy could crush me.
So apparently he'd injured himself. Really
yeah,
bad.
He his like back. Broke his back.
So
or
he's supposed
something.
To be like this. Because there's one part. Remember how I was talking about how I am watching out for stuntmen? There's a part where Cary Elwes is like on his back and it's a wide shot and it's very clearly a mask. Like it's like somebody wearing a mask who's playing Andre the Giant's character.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? He's such a huge guy. He could have easily carried
so
him.
He couldn't
but I realized
hold him?
He couldn't do any of that. He couldn't hold Robin Wright when she jumped down.
Yeah.
He apparently had to be propped up.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of the shots of him, like, carrying, quote-unquote, people, it was all trickery. It was film movie magic. But, I loved that group. I mean, I loved him. I loved Inigo Montoya. I loved Billy Crystal's.
Yeah, he's so. I always forget it's Billy Crystal. I'm like, that's right.
Well, it's
Billy
funny because then the next movie,
he's Mr. Miracle.
The next movie that Rob Reiner made was When Harry Met Sally.
Or Mr. Magic, Mr. Miracle. What's his name again? Is it Mr. Miracle?
Yeah, Miracle Max. That's his name.
Yeah. Okay, I was getting
Miracle
there.
Max, not Mad Max, Miracle Max. Yeah. So. It's funny that the next movie that Rob Reiner made was When Harry Met Sally, which I think is just one of the best movies ever.
So
made.
Good.
I love it. Yeah. I realize like Rob. I don't talk about Rob Reiner a lot as one of my favorite filmmakers, but like Stand By Me, Spinal Tap, this movie, and then When Harry Met Sally alone. I mean, then a Few Good Men, like those movies alone, and especially North, if that's not clear to people who listen to this episode.
Now I need to, I don't even know what North is about.
I want to call it a gem, an unpolished, dirty gem, because it really is. It's like, it's such an innocent movie that I can't hate it, even if it is terrible. But anyway, back to the point, I feel like I don't recognize Rob Reiner as much as I should,
even though
he's made so many of the best movies
a career.
Apparently Rob Reiner during the scenes with Billy Crystal, like, he kept ruining takes because he was laughing so hard.
Everyone
was laughing so hard. The only injury Mandy Patinkin sustained on this movie apparently was because he had a bruised rib because he was trying to hold back his laughter.
No.
And he actually bruised his rib.
Oh, my God.
How amazing is that?
Billy Crystal can
add that to his resume. Bruise Mandy Patinkin's ribs.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm so funny.
That's
a major accomplishment.
Don't get funnier than that.
Exactly. Another great injury was Christopher Guest when he was knocking out Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently it looked too fake. And finally, Cary Elwes was like, just hit me. I can take it.
Ooh.
So Christopher Guest hit him as hard as he could. Cary Elwes wakes up in the hospital.
No.
So he.
That's brilliant.
How about that? So
dude didn't mean that hard.
Right. But yeah, do you remember the first time you saw this movie? Did we talk about that?
Yeah, well, I don't remember definitively when. I do remember I was really young, and I was probably watching it at home, you know, VHS or just on TV or something like that. But I do remember just loving it, like completely just being like, yes, this is my movie, you know. I mean, okay, I'm a little girl, right? Princess Bride, like, yes, check, check.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. But then, you know, and it's a great movie to grow up with because it's like an onion. Like, you just keep getting more layers. And when you grow up with a movie that appeals to children, but also is a very smart and intelligent film like this one, I think as you get older and wiser, you realize you get more of the jokes and you get more of the sentimental parts and, you know, stuff like that. So it's just been like a really special movie to grow up with. You really missed out, Sean. Okay.
I really did. But this is such a like derogatory statement, or people take it in such a negative light, but this is like a perfect family film.
It is,
like,
yeah.
Kids can get enjoyment out of it from just the general, like, the fun and adventure, but adults can enjoy it because it's so charming and so funny and heartfelt, and it really is. It's just one of the, it really is a great movie. What would you say, who's your favorite character? Who do you love the most? You put me on the spot.
I think I'm going to go between Inigo Montoya.
Montoya.
I'm going to go between Inigo and, oh gosh, Wesley.
Yeah, Wesley's great.
Yeah.
Wesley's great because I think...
They're all... But it's like, oh, picking your favorite child. Yeah, like, they're all so good.
I think a lot of these movies, part of the reason I didn't like them as a kid, I liken it to Disney movies, cartoons specifically.
Yeah.
I never really liked them. I think they were catered towards girls more so than guys, a lot of them. Like, it was always a princess, and there was a prince who came along. But I always thought the princes were so dull. Like, they were like, yes, I'm here to save you, and I love you, and let me profess my love. So Wesley, it was so interesting and immediately caught me as a kid because he was so funny and so, yeah, like... He would do the fights, but it was mostly because he was funny. Like, I was so used to princes being dull and boring, and I think that was just
and very like surprise. Typecast.
Yeah, so it is hard to pick a favorite character. There's so many great characters. I mean, I loved Carrie Ewells, as does everybody,
and Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant. I mean, they're all really great.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I love his like big French accent. You know, I don't know. But yeah, it's like picking your favorite kid.
It is hard to understand him at times, though.
Well, I think he like really had to work on his, like, I think I remember reading something where they were like, you cannot understand him.
Sounds like they got
him.
It the best they could.
They just had him like, tried. repeat that line, do it again, memorize it. Now just say it. Like, just say it just like that.
I know. Oh, that poor guy. But he's so good. He's so charming. Even when you don't know what he's saying, you're like, oh.
You're like, oh, give me a hug.
I love you. And then I love, and again, Fred Savage is in this movie.
Yeah.
And I do remember him being in this movie. But it's like, even he's even a cute little kid in this movie. He has what it takes to be a great Hollywood actor.
Yeah.
And all that stuff is very.
And the grandpa is great.
That can't be in the book. I bet that was like a narrative framing device for the movie. It feels like it is.
I don't know.
Like, oh, maybe have him read the book to somebody.
The author said that like the reason he wrote the book is because his daughter was like, tell me a story. And he's like, what about? She's like, I want a princess and a bride. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay. And he maybe he did tell a story to his daughter
possible.
And it developed into a book.
I'm going to go get the book right now.
Let's find out.
Okay. We have the illustrated version of the Princess Bride here with us today to confirm once and for all. Looks like it is kind of framed with the kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's... So he does frame it in the book as like, oh, it's an abridgment of an older book. So there is like a history. It's a story within a story, kind of. And then says Goldman's personal life, as described in the introduction and commentary in the novel, is also fictional. But it sounds like the story is a little different as far as it's not like a grandpa reading it to a kid. It's like his actual life or something like that. So there you go.
There you go.
So it was apparently a nightmare to get this book made.
Yeah. So I guess when Rob Reiner took it, it had gone through like five, six directors before that, right. which is crazy. And I didn't know this, but when my uncle was marrying us, like he was telling the story of the Princess Bride and like, you know, how determination can get things done and stuff like that. So there's a cool little like lesson before we got married for our marriage. But, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, it took how many directors before this thing
apparently got... Rob Reiner just loved the book so much and he just went to them and said, I want to make this. And they were like, okay. And then he looked into the history and realized like, oh, people were trying to make... Ooh,
crap, what did I just get?
but that's so cool. I'm glad it did get made.
I know. I feel like it must have just needed to get into the right hands because now we have like literally a perfect adaptation.
Right.
Well, I mean, I haven't read the book, so I can't really swear by that. But
the guy wrote it. He wrote the movie and the books.
Yeah. So there's something to be said for that.
Sometimes that doesn't work out so well, but sometimes it does.
Yeah.
In this case, the movie was great and hopefully the book is great. So what favorite scene? Do you have a favorite scene in this movie?
I think when Buttercup shoves Wesley down the hill and he screams as you wish and then she goes, oh no. And then she just throws herself off the cliff.
Oh my God.
And like, they just tumble all the way down.
Another perfect example of like something lovey-dovey that as a kid I would have been like, ugh, but they punctuate it with a joke.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. And she just floats.
Guess I should go too. Like, who would do that?
Yeah. I think my favorite scene is probably the fight between Wesley and Inigo.
I'm saying and I know that what you're talking about.
Like,
so
just,
good.
It's so like they're both great in it. Just watching them fight is great, but just the exchange of dialogue, the respect they have for one another,
their
friendship that they develop, the whole scene, not just the fight itself, but like the moments beforehand where they're kind of sitting down and talking to each other, and then they're kind of like, you know, you're a great man. I'm so sorry I have to kill you. I'm sorry you have to kill me too. I loved that. That is such a great, great moment. I would probably pick that as my favorite scene. And then I really loved, the scene where Inigo faces the Six-Fingered Man.
Yeah.
And finally, like, you think he's defeated. He gets the knife thrown at his stomach. And then he gets back up and
takes
him
down. Second wind. Exactly. And he defeats him so beautifully. It's so good. And you're rooting for him. And you're like, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so good.
So I think those are my favorite scenes.
Yeah, those are some good scenes.
But, yeah, I'm...
I'm so glad you liked it.
I know, me too.
Oh,
and I'm happy. Hopefully people can forgive me for not liking certain other movies that people seem to love a lot, like Labyrinth and Gremlins. But and even Top Gun. People have been upset for
really?
The fact that we didn't like Top Gun. Yeah.
Wow. People I know my parents, my dad called me and was like, listen, Sarah, like he had a talking to me after he listened to our episode.
Yeah.
But...
so there you go.
But, not here to make friends. Okay.
I know. Exactly. We're here to tell the truth about the movies.
Well, I will say that of the two movies that we've seen that I love, you have come out on the right side.
Yes.
You know, so we got this
and I genuinely
and True
love
Romance.
Them. I'm
like,
not just trying to impress you.
Yeah.
You know, I would say if I hated them.
I know, on the eve of our 1 year anniversary.
I'm whipped, but I'm not that whipped. Yeah. No,
he's pretty whipped.
I'm thrilled. I think we should make this a tradition.
Yeah.
I think we should keep watching.
I like it.
Every
until
year.
The one day that you're like, I don't like it. I'm like, well, here are your divorce papers.
I know. You're going to be like, you hated my movie.
I
Prepare
kid,
to die.
I kid.
So, final ratings on a scale of 1 to 5. As You Wishes, and we could also do rodents of unimaginable size, whatever they're called. I can't remember.
Unusual,
yeah.
I have to write that down.
Oh my God, yeah. R-O-U-Ds, is that it?
Sure.
How would you scale this? How many on a scale of 1 to 5?
Oh, 5.
Okay.
500, 5,000, you know.
I'd give it a strong 4.
What?
I know. Well, I mean, I did
okay,
love it.
Fair
I loved
enough.
It. I will give it a 4.
Can I ask, where's the extra star?
The extra star, I don't want to criticize this movie because I liked it so
Am
much.
Am I putting you on
I
the
thought
spot?
There was, it got a little slow between the second and third act when he's out of commission.
Yeah.
They torture him and they're kind of carrying him around and bringing him back to life. As fun as the stuff was, I kind of started to feel it lag a bit, especially with Buttercup and her being like, you know, oh my gosh, I love Wesley and I have to... You know, I'd have to marry. I don't that kind of stuff. I was kind of starting to drift a little bit, but it pulled me back in.
I mean, that's fair. You're wrong, but that's fair.
I mean, let's be honest.
All right, well, I'm gonna give it.
It's a 5.
Thank
I'll give it a 5.
Thank you.
It's a 5. Come on. I sincerely love this movie. Yeah, I love this movie. There's nothing that I didn't love about it at the end of the day.
Well, this was super fun. This is a great way to spend our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah, so happy one year anniversary to you, wifey poo. I love you so much.
All right, they're throwing up right now.
As you wish. Thank you for listening again. I encourage you, if you liked this, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. You can subscribe to this podcast. I would love you if you did. I'll love you if you don't. Either way, you're loved, and I just want you to know that. And check out other shows in the Nerd Party. Lots of great stuff on thenerdparty.com. Follow the Nerd Party at Join Nerd Party, and then like us on Facebook at The Nerd Party. It's just facebook.com/TheNerdParty. And follow me on Twitter at YayShondorMan. And Sarah, where can people find you?
Twitter and Instagram. I am With Love Alone.
There you go. Yeah. So thank you once again, everybody, for tuning in. Go see The Princess Bride if you haven't already.
Yes.
And we will see you on the next episode. Take care.
Bye.